If you take your Bibles and open them to Romans chapter 14 as we continue our study through the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, we're going to begin in verse 13 today, reading down through verse 23. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food's unclean in and of itself, but if someone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is eating not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is always true and it will always speak to us if we'll listen. So, Father, I pray you'll open up our spirits and our minds and our hearts to you today. And I pray, Father, we will hear exactly what you want us to hear. The whole tenor of what is said today in your word is that you want us to be free to love one another, not putting boundaries on each other, not harnessing certain ideas that we think are important and pushing out other ones that we think are not so important. Lord, we are to love each other just as in Christ you have loved us. And I pray we will, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no greater way to reach people than to love them into the kingdom, and then to love them closer and closer to the Lord. We must love others just like the Lord loves us, unconditionally. Do you believe that? I think many of us believe that up here, but have a difficult time doing it right here. And the reason is there's a disconnect sometimes between the heart and the mind. What we say many times is important is not always brought out in our lives, correct? And so the problem is that we've got to get everything connected in the right way between our heart and our minds. And I think it was true in the church at Rome. I think it was true in the church in Ephesus. It was true in the church at Thessalonica. It was true in the churches in Galatia. The multiple different churches have issues with the very same thing. And here's the reason why. These churches are full of people, right? And people have problems. People have struggles. People have hard times sometimes getting along with each other. And I think it would be so much better if we all got along all the time, right? But it doesn't always happen like that. And the reason is because we've got to choose to love in the same way that God has chosen to love us. And so we're going to look at that today. And we're going to look, first of all, in verses 13 through 15. Loving others helps them grow. Look at what it says. Therefore, stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food's unclean in itself, but anyone regards something as unclean, for him it's unclean. If your brother's distressed because what do you eat, then you're no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. In other words, Paul's saying, listen, you know, it's not a big deal because I know that God has okayed for us to eat all things. But in the Jewish mindset, many of these people growing up as Jews, They said, well, we can eat these things, but we can't eat these things because these things are clean and these things are unclean. And, you know, when Peter had his epiphany on top of the building one day, God sent down to him all kinds of animals and all kinds of food. And he said, you can eat of any of these things. It's okay. And so, you know, God's not saying you cannot eat this and you can't eat this. Certainly there are things that are better for us and some things that are not so good for us. And we should be, you know, understanding of those things. But what was happening is there were people in the church who were turning against other people who had just become Christians and not knowing all the background of the Jews. And they were eating things that the Jews thought were not good to eat. And so there was a clash within the body. Now, when there's a clash within the body, that's not good because we are to be one in the Lord. And so Paul's saying, listen, even though you know it's okay to eat these things, because we've already shown that it is by what God said to Peter, it's not necessarily always about the law itself. We should fulfill the law. I believe we should fulfill the law to the 100%. But it's not always about doing what the law says that's so important that you're hurting somebody else in the midst of it by saying the things that you're saying to them. Does that make sense? So we've got to stop passing judgment on each other. Relationships are more important than preferences. Like, I prefer not to do certain things, but it's not a big deal. You know, I prefer not to do one thing while you might prefer not to do something else. That's not a big deal. We've got to stop basing our relationships on what some people think is important and other people think are important. We've got to base our relationships on God Himself. You see, if there is an issue with something that you're doing, guess what? The Holy Spirit will remind you of that. That's why God has given us the Holy Spirit, to walk alongside of us and help us know and understand what we are to do. There's an interesting instance of all this in Mark chapter 7, verses 8 through 23. And it takes a minute to read it all, but listen to what it says. You have let go of the commands of God, and you're holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help you, their father or mother is korban, which means is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. Again, Jesus called to the crowd and said, listen to me, everyone. And understand this, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and he entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. See, they were all grew up as Jewish men. Are you so dull, he asked them. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods were clean. And then he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is written, for out of the person's heart that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person. So as Paul's addressing the church at Rome, he's trying to remind them of this very fact. Listen, you can't get in a big uproar over what a person's eating or what a person's doing according to the traditions. You got to love them, period. You know, one of the things that's most difficult to do sometimes is to love somebody that's not like you. To love somebody that looks at things from a different perspective. To love somebody that's doing something that's totally different from what you're doing. It's difficult to love those people. But that wasn't difficult for Jesus, was it? Every place he went, he looked for people like that to show them his love. You recall he was walking down the street one day and the people were all filing in close to the street wanting to see Jesus. But there's one guy that was so short he couldn't see anybody, so he climbed up in the tree. You remember that? And as Jesus was walking by, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree because I'm going to go to your house today." And everybody thought, "Oh no, this is a tax collector. Why would he go to the house of a tax collector?" Because he loved Zacchaeus. That's like saying, if you're a Republican, I'm going to go eat with a Democrat. You know? Listen, folks. We can make all kinds of delineations and put people in categories and all these kinds of things, which we do very well. But when God looks at a person, He just sees them as somebody that He loves. We've got to do that. Doesn't mean we don't need to stand up for things that we know are right? No, it's not what it means at all. It simply means I am to love everybody, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they've said, no matter what you've been through with them. I need to love them anyway. I need to love them like God loves me unconditionally. We've got to stop passing judgment. Instead, we need to walk with a sensitive spirit. We need to walk with a sensitive spirit. And Paul goes on to talk about this. He says, don't be a stumbling block to a new believer. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say somebody came to know the Lord and they're excited about the Lord and they joined the church and they want to be a part. But they're not, you know, they don't yet know all the things that they should do and shouldn't do. And so one of the older members of the congregation sees this person outside the walls of the church or whatever doing something that they know are wrong, and they go up to that person and say, "Hey, listen, you're a Christian. You can't do that anymore," and get all over them and start, you know, tearing them down. Is that what we ought to do? No. And yet, that's exactly the kind of things that were going on in this situation. And Paul says, when you do that, you become a stumbling block. In other words, this person wants to grow, but all of a sudden they stumble because they feel the rejection from you. They feel the condemnation from you. They feel like you are so much better than them and they could never be worthy of God's love. The Greek word for stumbling block is proskoma, which means an obstacle, something that if one strikes his foot against it, he stumbles and falls. Let me just tell you a little quick example of that. In our house, we have two sets of stairs that go up on each side of a other set of stairs that goes down into the basement. And one side is they're all exactly the same height. But the other side, they're all exactly the same height except the last step, and it's about 2 inches higher than the other. You know, if you get used to going up in a cadence, so I can't tell you how many times I've hit that top stair with my toe and gone plomp on the floor because it's just, you know, I think I would learn after a while, right? But I still do it from time to time. That stumbling block, that thing that is thrown in there can cause somebody to fall. Now, let me ask you a question. We as Christians in the body of Christ, are we supposed to exhort each other and lift each other up and help each other? Or are we supposed to get after each other and tear each other down and cause people to fall? We're supposed to be lifting each other up and loving each other in the same way that Christ loved us. God didn't look at us and go, "Oh man, there's too much to fix in you. You've messed up too many times. There's no way I'm going to allow you into my kingdom." No, God would never do that. God so loved us that He allowed Jesus to take on all of our sins. What Paul says in this section is, if you become a stumbling block, you can then destroy this person's walk. The word destroy is the Greek word apolumi, which means causing permanent hurt or scarring. I can't tell you how many people that I've known in my life that I've talked to over a period of time and found out that they used to go to church. They used to be a part of a body of believers, but they gave it up because somebody hurt them. Now, I always have to understand and realize that maybe they're holding on to that because they don't really want to, you know, get involved and they don't really want to grow in their life. That can be true, but most of the time it's because they feel like that's not what should have happened in the situation. If I messed up, where's the forgiveness? Where is the love that's supposed to be in the church of God? Where is it? And I think one of the reasons people aren't crowding into places like this in this country today is not only because of the restrictions that have been put on us, but because they don't feel the love of God. They don't sense that it's okay to not be perfect and still yet be a part of the body of Christ. What we do affects others around us. There's no doubt about it. The way we say things, the way our mannerisms, the way that we show, you know, we can say I love you, but say it in a really derogatory way sometimes. In other words, yeah, I love you, but you know, you're still a mess and whatever. We could do all kinds of things that lets people know that we're really, really, really not concerned for them, and we really don't care that much about them. Are we willing to give up things so that God will not, so God's will is not hindered and others are not hurt? We can be very dogmatic many times about the way we do things, the way that we've always done them. And by the way, that's the seven last words of a declining church. We've never done it like that before. Listen, folks, it's not about the programs. It's not about how we do things or why we do things. It's about who we are in Him. Do we really love God with our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit? And because of that, are we willing to do whatever it takes to love other people as well? I know you're just like me sometimes. You see somebody and you think, how could I love that person? They're so disgusting to me, or they're so, you know, evil to me, or whatever. But that's not how God looks at them. God looks at them as someone He created for a purpose and that He gave His life up for them. Paul's just reminding us that in the midst of all this, we can help each other out. Look at what it says down in verse 14. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it's unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. In other words, He wants us to understand that it's so important for us to see what we're doing and what we're saying and how the effects that it has on other people around us. You know, we can say we love each other but treat each other terribly. We can say that people are welcome here and yet we never talk to them, or we never reach out to them or try to get to know them. You see, the love of God brings righteousness and peace and joy. That's what the Scripture tells us. Anything that we do as a body that does not lead to these three things, righteousness, peace, and joy, is not of His kingdom. So you got to ask yourself the question we all do. Are the things that I do in the body of Christ bringing righteousness, peace, and joy? Or are they bringing dissension and destruction and sadness and heartache? Righteousness is not a position we gain by doing things. That's, you know, in the law, in the people who want to follow the law, they think they're righteous because they've done all the things that they think they're supposed to do. But righteousness does not lead to these things. It's not a position. It's gained by doing or being right with Him. That's not righteousness. Righteousness is being right with God, and our sins have been forgiven. Peace is not being at war with the one who is in control. Listen, if God's in control, and we know that He is, but have we decided to allow Him to be in control of our life? If God is in control, we cannot be at war with each other. Because if God is in control of you and God's in control of me, guess what? It's going to be okay with each other. He's leading us in the same path. And joy then is the manifestation of the peace in our life, in our heart, and our soul. And because we're walking with God, and because we're okay with each other, and because we help each other out when we're hurting, and because we pray for each other when there's a need, then we can know the joy of the Lord. And He will bless us in our relationships. Thirdly this morning, loving others builds up the body. Listen folks, those congregations that continue to reach people for Jesus Christ are doing it by loving each other into the kingdom. If you love somebody enough, you're going to tell them about Jesus. Now let me say that one more time because it really bears witness to the truth. If you love somebody enough, you're going to tell them about Jesus. Now you might say, well, I want to tell them, but you know, they really don't want to listen. And I've even said something one time and they said, I don't want to hear about it. So I just gave up. Well, you know what? Love doesn't give up. Love keeps on. You see, folks, to love each other and build each other up in the body, it takes work. Paul uses this phrase, and he's used it multiple times in other letters. He says, make every effort to do what's right. Make every effort not to be a stumbling block to someone. Make every effort not to build a foundation on something that's not a foundation. There are churches that are built on foundations of man. Guess what's going to happen to those churches, or what has already happened to those churches? They've fallen. There's only one foundation. And it's Jesus Christ Himself. And the love of God. Make every effort. You see, we only work when we choose to work, right? All of us have a choice. You could get up one day and say, you know what, I'm supposed to go to work today, but I'm going to call in sick, even though you're not sick. I don't want to work today. Have any of you ever felt that way? I don't want to work today? Okay, we got three people that are telling the truth and the rest of you were in trouble. Yeah, of course. You know, we sometimes know the things that we're supposed to do, but we just don't want to do them. Paul says, make every effort. We can't work without effort. Did you know that? It takes effort to work, right? In the same way, it takes effort to work in a family. It takes effort to work in a church. It takes effort to work in a nation. We've got to work at it. We can't just stand by and go, oh, I hope it gets a lot better and not do anything about it. You know, one of my friends in the ministry tells me all the time, and I agree with what he says. He says, you know, we have Christians who say it's so important to stand on the Word of God and do the things that God's Word has said, but they won't even go out and vote. What does that say? It's not that important. And we don't really think it's that important for our whole nation to believe that the things of God are true. Listen, folks. Whether you believe it or not, the things of God are absolutely truth. And this nation will rise or fall by how we do what God has called us to do. It takes work. It takes work to pursue peace and edification. The Greek word is odikawo, which means to build up, to promote growth, to say, listen, hey, I'm willing to invest myself in someone who is new in Christ. And I'm willing to walk alongside of them and help them out and answer questions and lead them in prayer and lead them in Bible study. I'm willing to do that. Unfortunately, for the most part, and I can say this with you know, 46 years in the ministry and what I've seen in that, for the most part, most Christians, most people in a church say, hey, I'm having a hard enough time doing what I'm supposed to do. How am I supposed to help anybody else? Or they just want to be left alone in their own Christian bubble. That's not Christian. You know, if you're going to choose to follow Christ, then you're going to have to choose to follow His commands, right? And His commands are to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Not only does it mean to build up, it means also in the active tense, which it is, it means continually doing this. We are to keep on edifying each other. It's not a one-time thing. Hey, yeah, I met with that guy and prayed with him, and now, you know, I did my duty. No. It means to continue and continue. Because guess what? This side of heaven, we're not going to be perfect. Right? And so we've just got to continue to grow and help each other and be there for each other. It's a process of building. You see, you can't walk up to a vacant lot and say, I'm going to build my house. Poof, there it is. Doesn't work like that, does it? No, you got to start at the very beginning. You got to clean the lot or what do you have to do. Then you have to lay the foundation. You got to put in the plumbing and the electrical. And then you got to come in and put in the studs. And then you got to come in and do all the things that you have to do. It's a continual process to allow that to be built. You see, we are either building someone up, each other up, the church up, or we're tearing it down. There's no middle ground. You're either helping or hurting. I'm either helping or hurting. We all have to ask ourselves, am I helping or am I hurting? Loving somebody enough to do this means we're going to invest and we're going to help build up the body. Loving is loving in faith. Look at what it says in verse 22. I like how Paul puts it here. He says, so whatever you believe about these things, you know, what's good to eat and what's not good to eat, or whatever you're making this big argument about, whatever you believe about these things, keep it between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. He says, listen, our relationships are so critically important. That's how God spreads His word, is through relationships. I tell you what, folks, it's so difficult for someone to just come and get on the TV or whatever and proclaim the truth and people to turn to God, because most people come to know Jesus through a relationship, through someone who come alongside of them and love them so much that they'll share the good news. Our relationship with God is intimate. In other words, it should be the most important thing to us in our lives. Intimacy does not share everything openly. Some things need to be kept in confidence. That's why gossip is so damaging. And I can't tell you how many churches have been torn apart by people who begin to gossip about one another and start tearing each other down instead of building each other up. Our relationship with God is intimate. We can hurt the body by our own freedom. In other words, we could say, hey, I can do anything I want to. I'm saved. Well, true, you can do anything you want to, but if you're saved, you ought to know that you want to glorify God. And if what you're doing is not glorifying God, if what I'm doing is not glorifying God, then I'm not building up the body, I'm tearing it down. And we can hurt the body by our own freedom. The Greek word for condemn is katadika, which means to bring judgment. In other words, if we are bringing judgment on each other all the time instead of building each other up and helping each other when we're struggling, then the body is not going to be built up. It's going to be hurt. We many times bring judgment on ourselves, which could have been avoided. There's no doubt about it. There's been issues in churches that I've been in multiple times where people were hurt so badly that they quit coming to church. And I can't see that that's ever a good thing. That's not a good thing. We are to love each other so much that we're willing to do whatever it takes to reach them for the Lord, and then to help them grow. And then verse 23 reminds us of that by loving each other, by walking in faith. The man who has doubts is condemned if he eats because he's eating not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is what? What does it say? Everything that does not come from faith is sin. You see, when we know what we are to do, we can have a confidence in Christ. We don't have to doubt. Am I doing the right thing? Should I confront somebody? Should I talk to somebody? Should I sit down with somebody and pray with? Listen, folks, we can have confidence in Christ when we know that we're motivated by the love of God. Not by what we think we can accomplish by doing these things, and then somebody will see that I did them and give me a big pat on the back and I'll be elevated. No, folks, we've got to love each other like God loves us. He was willing to die for us. We can have confidence in Christ, which means we do not need to doubt. We don't have to sit around and go, oh man, I'm not sure if I should confront somebody or talk to them about this, or if I should pray with somebody or go visit somebody that needs to know about you. Listen, folks, we can have confidence in Jesus Christ. There is no greater confidence in the world. Now, let's say somebody came to you one time and said, hey, listen, I've got an insider that knows that if you invest in this stock in the next 3 days, it's going to go skyrocketing. Guess what? You might have some confidence in that person, but what happens if you invest a bunch of stuff in that stock and then all of a sudden the market crashes? What happens? You lose it all, right? So, folks, everything in this world is going to change. Everything. There is nothing in this world itself that you can stand on and know it'll always be there. But there is one person in this world that we can stand on forever. His name is Jesus Christ. And we've got to build on Him. We've got to stand on Him. The Greek word is diakrion, which means to separate or withdraw. It means, in other words, we can't withdraw from people. We've got to stick together. We've got to work together. It's like your body. If a part of your body says, hey, I don't want to be a part of the body anymore, is that going to hurt the body? Sure it is. Sure it is. Listen, the evil one comes. John 10:10 says, the evil one comes. And he wants to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come, you can have life and have it to the full. See, the evil one wants to break up anything that is of God. And he is busy all the time trying to tear down all that God wants to build up. He does that in your personal life. He does that in your family's life. And he certainly does that in the body of Christ. And he's looking for ways to steal our joy and to kill our physical bodies and destroy us for eternity in the place that's set aside for Him and His angels called hell. But Jesus comes to what? He comes to give us real life, and it's abundant life. It's life that is overflowing with who He is. Have you ever thought about that? Do you allow, let me rephrase it this way. Do you know what conduit is, right? It's like pipe that you can run water through or electrical lines through or whatever else, and it protects what's going through it. God says, I want you to be my conduit of living water. And I will be the conduit, and I will allow my living water to flow through you if you'll just allow it to do so. But so many of us have conduit that's been broken and turned in different directions and whatever else. And we're not allowing God's Holy Spirit to use us and to move through us and to touch people. He desires to give His life to us in an abundant fashion. So much so that when people see the love of God in us, they'll want that. They'll see it's not from us and it's not from me and it's not from you. It's from Jesus. We must love like God loves us. We've got to do that. It's the number one thing we need to do as a church. We need to love one another. And we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'll say it again. What if when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, He really meant it? He did. Think about your neighbors. Not necessarily your location where you live, but it could be. It means anyone that you know that needs to know our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this word from Your Word and this word from Paul as he so insightfully tells us that it's not about what you eat and don't eat. It's not about the laws. It's not about all of those things. It's about You. And we don't follow the law because we have to. We follow the law because we want to, because it's about You. We cannot hold ourselves up as measures of righteousness, because none are righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And the wages of our sin is death and separation from God. But God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we could translate that to where we are as Christians, are we demonstrating our love to other people by laying down our own lives for them, doing whatever it takes to reach them, going the extra mile, giving of ourselves? Father, I pray that that's the kind of church that You will build in this community, in this nation, in this world. People need to know how much they are loved. And You love them so much that You gave Your one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank You, Lord, for loving us like that. Now I pray that we'll love each other as well. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.